Welcome to the Terrorist Therapist Show on Renegade Talk Radio with your host, Dr. Carol. Though you may not realize that the ongoing threat of terrorism is affecting your life and that of your loved ones. Each week, Dr. Carol analyzes the hottest topics in terror and helps you and your family reach your dreams despite living in a time of terror.
Are violent incels terrorists? Welcome to the Terrorist Therapist Show. I'm Dr. Carol, a psychiatrist, and your terrorist therapist. Violent incels. Should we be calling violent incels terrorists? That's the question. And I'm going to tell you today three stories. One is of a regular terrorist, a radical Islamist terrorist. These are all incidents that happened in the last couple of weeks. And then about an attack in Arizona by an incel. And following that, an attack in Canada by an incel. And we're going to be comparing each of these types of people. And I'm asking the question, are some people using the word terrorist or terrorism too loosely? Now, a generic definition of a terrorist or terrorism is unlawful use of violence and intimidation in pursuit of a political or social objective. Unlawful use of violence and intimidation in pursuit of political or social objectives. Now, you know, one question for the incels would be, I mean, we could see, of course, how that fits radical Islamist terrorism, but for incels, are the incels trying to make other people become incels? Oh, let me take a second here to define an incel. Incel comes from the words involuntary or involuntarily celibate, incel. And these are men who are angry at women because they blame women for not wanting to be their girlfriends and not wanting to have sex with them. So they blame them for basically ruining their life. So now a question would be, are they trying to, when an incel attacks, are they trying to turn other men into incels? Would they need to have that as an objective in order for it to become to be called terrorism? Well, when I tell you these stories, you can judge these things for yourself. Now, in a fairly recent podcast, I talked about how coronavirus, the government, the judicial system has come out with a memo. And this was in regard to whether pranks should be called terrorist attacks. Do you remember? Well, if not, go back and listen to that. The idea is that if, you know, there were people coughing and spitting and doing all these awful things, gross things in grocery stores, thinking it was funny, some of them were pranksters, and others were doing it on purpose to try to infect other people. And that was sort of the key, that there was this memo to call these kinds of situations and to charge the people with terrorism if they were doing this on purpose, because coronavirus can be thought of as an agent of bioterrorism. So that's one, you know, one sort of broadening of the concept of terrorism that we've already seen in the U.S. Okay, so let's go now to the regular terrorist, the radical Islamist terrorist, who attacked the Corpus Christi, Texas Naval Air Station. He was a 20-year-old. His name is Adam Salim Alzali. He was a Syrian-born U.S. citizen. He was studying business at a community college in Corpus Christi. And he had been posting a lot, having a lot of online activity in which he was supporting Islamic clerics on Facebook, on Twitter, and on WhatsApp. So clearly he made no secret of his terrorist opinions and terrorist leanings. Now, there's no question that this attack at the naval station in Corpus Christi was terrorism related. He came into the station at about 6:15 in the morning. He was an active shooter. Afterwards, they said that he had been neutralized, which is euphemistic for his having been shot dead. And he only ended up injuring one person at the base, which is like amazing. He injured a woman who, as he was trying to speed through the security gate at the base, he opened fire and he wounded this woman, a sailor, and she was amazing. She rolled over and hit a switch that raised a barrier, and it prevented him from getting onto the base. So she was quite the hero. Now, he lived in Corpus Christi. As I said, he was a business major at the school. He was a student at Del Mar College, which was a community college. On his social media, one of the things that was translated, something that he had written, was, "I love the Mujahideen. I'm not one of them. And my sword is aimed over the necks of whoever doubts them or stabs them." Now, what's interesting, you know, sort of looking at the coronavirus connection, he was, as I said, a business administration major at this community college, and he attended classes in fall 2018, spring 2019, fall 2019, and then not spring 2020. Now, was this because the school was closed or online or something because of coronavirus? Or had he, and is that why he stopped? Or did he stop because things were getting unhappy in his life, like he was failing, or he had problems with girlfriends, which I guess goes along with an incel, but he did not identify with being an incel. But anyhow, did he stop going to class in the spring of 2020 because he was planning on perpetrating this terror attack? We may never know. Then, of course, the police surrounded his house. Now, one of the things that I thought was the most fascinating about this attack was that it came right after the Attorney General William Barr talked about in the press. I mean, it was big news, you probably heard about it, that he, even though this had kind of been said before, but what was new was the terrorist who attacked the Pensacola Naval Air Base Station in December 2019, his name was Mohammed Saeed al-Shamrani, and he attacked the same thing, you know, this was a Pensacola Naval Air Base, and he was killed also. He murdered three U.S. sailors and injured eight others at the base. He was 21, and you know, I did a podcast about him that I want to refer you to. It was called Porn Stash or Radical Islam at Heart of Pensacola Shooter, because there was he was mocked by his teacher at the air base. I mean, at the naval base. Well, naval air base. He was mocked for his mustache. And the teacher said something that, you know, he had a porn stash, that his mustache was like porn stars. In any case, so in that podcast, I weigh the likelihood that, you know, how much was due to radical Islam and how much was due to his being mocked by his teacher, and basically concluded that it was primarily radical Islam, but that the porn stash comment could have triggered him at that particular moment. So when it was announced that the FBI had been able to break into his two cell phones, this was just recently, even though the attack was in December, they just recently were able to break into his two cell phones, you know, through the passwords and all the things that they had to do to break through and to see, you know, to confirm really that he had these terrorist leanings. So that was announced. And then right away, this next terrorist attacked the Corpus Christi Naval Air Station. I mean, clearly he was motivated or he was triggered. I mean, it wasn't just because this came out about the Pensacola terrorist, but the timing, I believe, was triggered by this announcement that, yes, the Pensacola terrorist, his iPhones did have, you know, did confirm he had terrorist intentions. Now, what's interesting is the Pensacola terrorist had attempted to destroy one of his iPhones at the time that he was, that they were shooting at him. He fired a bullet at his iPhone right before he was killed to try to destroy it. Anyhow, that there we have the story about a radical Islamist and a terror attack. And next we'll go into stories of incel attacks occurring approximately during the same time frame. And we're going to look at how those are different. So stay tuned. Welcome back to the Terrorist Therapist Show, where we're talking today about, should we call violent incels terrorists? So you just heard the story of the terrorist who attacked the Corpus Christi, Texas Naval Air Station, ironically right after it was announced that the iPhones of the terrorist who attacked the Pensacola, Florida airbase was terrorism. I mean, you know, there was really enough to say that before, as I did, if you listen to the podcast from December. It was in December of 2019. That's when I did that podcast, and that's when the attack took place. Okay, now we're going to look at the first incel that we're going to be talking about today. Again, that means it comes from involuntary or involuntarily celibate, men who are angry that they... no women seem to want to be their girlfriend or want to have sex with them. So at around the same time as the radical Islamist terrorist was attacking the Corpus Christi Naval Air Station, we had an incel in Arizona who was perpetrating his own attack. And he was the same age, 20 years old. His name was Armando Hernandez Jr. And he attacked a people in a mall in Arizona, in Westgate. And he said that he identifies with men who feel shunned by women, men who are incels. The prosecutor for neutralize. They didn't neutralize him. He's still alive, and he was captured and arrested and charged. And the prosecutor told the court he's a self-professed incel. He has the feeling that he has been bullied, the feeling that women don't want him. He claims he's involuntarily celibate and was deeply angered by this. So now, this is what the prosecutor said about him. Now, incel, the term basically came about since around 2014. And that is when the most famous incel, Elliot Rodger, went on his spree with a gun and a knife and vehicle ramming in Santa Barbara. And there was no question as to what he was doing and why he was doing it, because he left a YouTube video which he called Elliot Rodger's Retribution, and he left a written manifesto that he called My Twisted World. And Elliot Rodger was a really problem child from the beginning, but clearly that was because of his parents and his parents' divorce, and then the next, his father remarried, and they had another little boy, which, you know, clearly made him feel ignored. Not that I'm trying to make excuses for his killing spree. He was 22 when he went on this spree, and he made it clear that this was revenge for a perceived sexual and social rejection. He killed 6 people and he injured 14 people. He was the targets of his attack were students at the University of Santa Barbara, particularly women, but also men, the men who he was jealous of, men who had girlfriends. So he wanted to punish the women for rejecting him, and he wanted to punish the men because he was envious of them. Why should they have these girlfriends and sexual partners and not him? So he put up this video, and it was relatively sophisticated video. I mean, he was just sitting in his car, but he really explained himself and how much pain he was in, and for all his life, pretty much. He had various psychiatric diagnoses, but he never really stuck with therapy consistently. And it was thought that maybe he was on the autism spectrum or something like that. It was never really clear what his diagnosis was. And he went on this spree. And he said he was a virgin who couldn't find a girlfriend despite his money and other assets. I mean, in his video, you know, he was sitting in his car and he had these glasses, sunglasses, and he had a fancy car. And his family had been wealthy. His father was in the film business, but then they were having various financial problems, all kinds of problems. And this manifesto and this video that he left turned out to be inspirational for other incels. And that's sort of where this online subculture came about, men who felt similarly to Elliot Rodger. And there are chat rooms for incels. And of course, they're intensely misogynistic. And they stoke each other's resentment and rage. They blame women for their grievances. And that's what they talk about in these online chat rooms, how awful and women are. And some get really violent and talk about, you know, how women deserve to be killed. So now in Canada, let me finish telling you about Armando Hernandez, and then we'll get to Canada in the next segment. But Armando was targeting couples in this Arizona mall, and he live streamed his shooting spree. And he was, you know, talking about how frustrated he was, and he fired an assault rifle. He injured 3 people, 1 critically, at Glendale's Westgate Entertainment District. It was a mall in Arizona. And so the prosecutor was talking to the judge about him and saying that he is Armando is the latest self-pitying terrorist. So he called him a terrorist. Latest self-pitying terrorist to take out his frustrations over his inability to court women by carrying out an act of violence, and had contemplated doing so for the last 3 to 4 years. Always interesting to figure out what was the final trigger. The prosecutor went on, and he was telling the court that Mr. Hernandez had the purpose of taking out his express anger at society, the feeling that he had been bullied, the feeling that women don't want him. And he said, apparently, Hernandez said that he didn't intend to kill anyone. He had every intention to cause injury to people at the mall, people who were at the mall with their significant others. So he chose couples, you know, because he was so angry and jealous about them. The prosecutor said he specifically was hoping to shoot at least 10 people. He wanted these people to feel the pain that he feels on a daily basis. He suffers from extreme anger. He's very open about the fact that he has a dark side, and his dark side was coming out. The judge made, after hearing all this from the prosecutor, the judge set his bail at $1 million. Yes, that's right. In terms of the trigger, and it's got a connection to coronavirus, just like the Naval Air Station at Corpus Christi, that attacker, I was hypothesizing that maybe it had something to do with, you know, why he didn't continue with school. Maybe that had something to do with, you know, how now it was going to be different because of coronavirus. Well, this man, Hernandez, the incel in Arizona, his trigger, he told the people, he wasn't hiding that he was the one who did this. I mean, clearly everybody knew that he did this. And he was saying that he was pushed over the edge after he realized that both Panda Express and a local movie theater were closed due to coronavirus. Now, I like Panda Express too. And this guy planned on having a nice day at Panda Express and going to the movie. And that was closed. They were closed. So he apparently decided to have his cause an attack instead. And he streamed it on Snapchat. And he sent the feed to a woman who he was interested in. So he was trying to attract a woman by showing her how tough he was by shooting all these people in the mall. And this is one of the latest examples of incels causing an attack, turning to violence to express their rejection, their feelings of anger and rejection by women and by society as a whole. And related to or originally starting from the hero, Elliot Rodger in Santa Barbara, California. Okay, well, we need to take a break now. When we come back, we'll talk about the incident in Canada that's perpetrated by an incel and called for the first time in Canada a terrorist attack. Stay tuned. Welcome back to the Terrorist Therapist Show, where we're talking today about the question, are violent incels terrorists? Should they be called terrorists, or should that be a term reserved for radical Islamists? Well, another story I promised you too about incels, two attacks by incels. The second one that we're going to be talking about now is in Canada. It's a 17-year-old boy who they're not giving out his name because he's a minor. And he went into a Toronto massage parlor, an erotic Toronto massage parlor, and he killed a 24-year-old woman and injured the owner of the massage parlor. This is the first time Canadian authorities have charged a person who is an incel as a terrorist. So he used a machete, and this was on February 24th. He went into the Crown Spa, this was in Toronto, And he killed a 24-year-old woman. And as I said, he stabbed the spa's owner. The owner fought back, and she wrestled the machete away from him. So he is now charged with first-degree murder and attempted murder. And they added, so that happened in February, but why it's news now is because they just added terrorist activity as one of the charges. And they found out that he associated himself with the incel movement, and they have decided to consider this as terrorism. Now, there had been a man in Canada, in Toronto. Toronto seems to be the site of these kinds of attacks, where there was a man named Alec Benassian. This was in 2018. And he, you probably will remember, he was accused of the Toronto van attack. Do you remember that? He killed 10 people and injured 16 more. And he was an admitted incel. In fact, he said he was part of the Beta Uprising. And he described this movement as angry incels such as myself who are unable to get laid. So this is the first time that in Canada they're calling someone who isn't associated with Al-Qaeda or ISIS a terrorist. And it is thought that some people are thinking this is a good idea and some people are thinking it's a bad idea. And in any case, it's rather confusing. Now, since 2018, there have been at least three attacks in Canada that involved incels. There was the van attack. Then in June 2019, a man in Sudbury, Canada, attacked a mother and her children outside a department store. He was trying to kill the child, but he stabbed the mother in the neck. The mother survived, the man was arrested, and he pled guilty to two charges of attempted murder. And he told everybody that he committed the attacks because he was an incel. Although it's still a little questionable as to whether, you know, just how committed to being an incel or just how much that was a motivation for him. This whole question of whether these attacks should be called terrorism, of course, there's a lot of controversy over that. And some people are saying that not only is this the fact that it's, somebody has been charged with the charge of terrorism, who's an incel, not only does that kind of give the message that terrorism comes from other places besides Al-Qaeda and ISIS, but it's also supposed to be a heads up to people that if you know somebody who is an incel, there's a reason to be concerned and you should go to the authorities just like you should if, in fact, you know, you knew that there was a terrorist who was connected to ISIS or Al-Qaeda. Now, in the Canadian Security Intelligence Service in Canada, obviously, the Canadian, divides violent extremists and terrorists into three categories: religious, political, and ideological. And the incels, they say, are ideological terrorists. And so this 17-year-old boy who attacked the women at the massage parlor, that is how they are explaining why they call that terrorism, because it's ideological terrorism. There were other incel attacks in Canada before, and one was the van attack that I mentioned by Manassian, and then there was also a shooting a few months later. Now, in Danforth, and that was done by somebody called Faisal Hussein. He's 29, and he shot two people to death, and he injured 13 other people. And he was also supposedly motivated by being an incel, by the incel ideology. Now, he was, they say that he was already mentally disordered, and they found out, you know, as they investigated him, this is the Danforth killer, they found out that he had been searching for news stories about the van attack man, Manassian, and he had a copy of Elliot Rodger's writings about his frustration over not being able to find a girlfriend, his hatred of women, his contempt for couples. And Hussein also had on his phone a 300-page book from manhoodacademy.com called The Principles That Govern Social Interaction. And it basically is teaching how to use male authority in relationships with women. Now, Hussein shot himself, so we're not going to know anything more than this. Now, there are other people who say it is not okay to call it terrorism, because that is just very confusing. And I'm actually, I would agree with that. I do not think we should be calling incels terrorists. I mean, did they perpetrate an act that caused terror in the people who they shot or knifed or whatever they did? Yes, but it is getting confusing things too much. It's broadening the definition to a point where it becomes meaningless. Now, in Canada, the reason why they just did this, why they called this for the first time, charged someone, an incel, with terrorism, is because they wanted to be able to use some of the terrorism laws. In other words, the stronger laws to allow them to investigate and to let the police have more powers. But it's not really going to have any impact on the 17-year-old in terms of his punishment, his sentencing. But there's thought that the Royal Canadian Mounted Police may have thought that adding a terrorist charge will cause other incels to think twice before resorting to violence. In other words, because this is terrorists are so evil, and incels, you know, maybe makes them not want to think about being associated with people who are as evil as terrorists. Well, you know, I don't think incels are really thinking about that. I don't think they're worried about that. It's just a much more personal crime than terrorism. That's why I don't think that it should be used to cover, you know, pretty much any violence is going to be called terrorism. No, I don't think so. So let me sort of sum this up by comparing terrorists to incels. Terrorists, of course, are radical Islamists. Incels are of any race or religion. The targets of terrorists are Westerners, non-believers. The point of killing them and injuring them is to take over so that they can enact Sharia law. And terrorists, radical Islamist terrorists, are trying to kill the largest number of people and injure the largest number of people. And they choose symbolic spots like a military base or the Twin Towers. Whereas incels target women or men who they are jealous of. You know, it's not political, it's sexual, it's romantic, incels are not necessarily after targeting, killing, or injuring the largest number of people. It's more a statement about killing the women who have been rejecting them. You know, the women they kill are symbolic, but in a different way than radical Islamists. These women are symbolic of women in general who have not wanted to be their girlfriend and not wanted to have sex with them. And then radical Islamists use all kinds of weapons like bombs and ramming attacks and guns and knives and bioterrorism. Whereas incels, their weapons are more personal. So, you know, they go and where they do their attack is more personal. Like at the Santa Barbara, Elliot Rodger targeted fraternity and sorority college students. And this latest one, the 17-year-old, went into an erotic massage parlor. It's not like to get the largest number of people. It's very personal. Even the man in the mall in Arizona wasn't really trying to, he could have killed a lot more people, but he was aiming at these couples. And they use more, incels use more personal kinds of weapons, guns and knives. You have to get up a little closer than a suicide bomb or even a ramming attack. But now both radical Islamist terrorists and incels are alienated from society. They have a lot of anger and frustration. They're loners and they want revenge. So in some ways they're similar, but I don't think that we should be diluting the word terrorist and terrorism to include incels, other than the fact that they are perpetrating terror. But we need to save it. We need to save it for the radical Islamists. Well, thank you for listening to the Terrorist Therapist Show. I'm Dr. Carol, your terrorist therapist.
If you would like to find out more about terrorism from me, your terrorist therapist, visit my website, terroristtherapist.com. And if you're a parent or teacher and want to build stronger nests for your kids to become more resilient, check out my new award-winning book, Lions and Tigers and Terrorists, Oh My, How to Protect Your Child in a Time of Terror. It's the first and only book about terrorism for kids. You can find it wherever books are sold or directly from the publisher at terrorismforkids.com. Terrorism4kids.com. I'm Dr. Carol, your terrorist therapist.
Thank you for listening to the Terrorist Therapist Show on Renegade Talk Radio with your host, Dr. Carol. We hope listening to the show has made you feel calmer, more resilient, and more able to reach your dreams despite living in a time of terror. You can also check out past shows on Renegade Talk Archives for more insights.